Ladies and gentlemen, to celebrate the fact that if the number of episodes we have done were years, we've done 18 episodes, which means we'd be 18 years old, and that's the legal drinking age here in Australia, I have cracked open a cider. Welcome to episode 18 of Nerd Out Consumed. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between. Thank you very much for joining us here on our podcast. And by us, I mean me, Reese Parton, and my usual companion on this venture, Sandro Felcher.
Personally, I'd prefer the term assistant based off, you know, if we're going by Doctor Who roles.
Yeah, but you'd be incorrect, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would.
But yes, that's the voice of my good friend, Sandro Felcher. And we're here on No Doubt Consumed, where we ask the question. We're really getting into this really quickly, aren't we?
Just jumping right in.
We are, yeah. But the whole basis of this show is where we talk about what have we consumed recently. So, Sandro.
Yes.
What have you consumed recently?
So many things. So much.
Really?
So much. What should I start with? I'll start with some books. I'll start with, like, reading.
Ooh, okay.
I read End of Watch, the finale in the Bill Hodges trilogy by Stephen King. Very good. There's nothing I really want to say about it because it's all spoiler pretty much because it's the finale in the trilogy, but it's really good.
Yeah.
It introduces some concepts that if you were reading these as a fan of hard broiled detective novels, that might throw you off a little. You might be like, hang on a second, why is that concept in my detective novel? But I quite liked how it shifted and changed and got to the stuff that it does in this final book. I think it felt quite natural, but
awesome.
You know, yeah. That's also coming from the standpoint of I'm a Stephen King fan. So I thought it was really good, really tense compared to that second book, which felt very disconnected from the first one. Mm. This one is incredibly connected. And in many ways, this feels like the direct sequel, except you really should read the actual sequel in the middle, just based off some character stuff that happens. It's really good. The characterizations are excellent. I really like the character of Holly, who is Bill's sidekick throughout this trilogy. She really comes into her own, I think, in this particular one, in this third book. And I know that she continues on in the spin-off sequel, The Outsider, which I'm keen to get into maybe next week. I don't know. I'm thinking I might take a little bit of a break, but I'm not too sure how long it's going to be because I do want to read them pretty much back to back. But yeah, it's good. It's really good stuff. I mean, I read it in 4 days and it's 350 pages. So that's pretty quick.
That's also an achievement unlocked, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's very easy to read and the chapters are like 100 pages long. So...
Really?
Yeah.
So there are three chapters?
Pretty much.
Wow.
I don't know if you would call them chapters. They're like episodes maybe, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. They are very long.
Wow.
And if you've got a lot of spare time, you just kind of just keep reading. You know, it's a page turner. So that's... I mean, that's what Stephen King writes. So yeah, it's really good. I would give the trilogy as a whole maybe a light two thumbs up, actually.
Ooh, it was just one last time, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think as individual books, maybe they'd all get a strong one thumb up, but then as a complete trilogy, I think they deserve that light two thumbs up. I think as a trilogy, they work really well.
Yeah.
So I would definitely recommend them, but they are pretty full on in parts, which surprised me, even though I kind of knew what I was getting into. There's some stuff in there where I went, wow, you really went for this particular sort of subject in a novel like this, which you wouldn't usually get. So yeah, it was really good. So yeah, two strong. Nope. Yep. The rating I gave it before, that's what I give it. So that's End of Watch. What's something that you've been consuming lately, though?
Well, I was looking for something to watch because I was indecisive about if I'd keep watching Preacher or start The Umbrella Academy. And then a trailer for a show which has got Daniel Brühl in it came on Netflix. And I thought, oh, that looks interesting. Okay, yeah, I'll play the first episode. So it drew me in straight away. It's called The Alienist.
Oh, yes.
Fascinating show, very gory. I've only seen the first episode, but I am hooked. I'm going to try and watch some more. Very much intrigued. And I want to see more of Daniel Brühl because I think he's awesome.
Mm.
In fact, I said on Facebook, and this is just a random little discussion point, but I think he would make an excellent master or doctor on Doctor Who.
Mm.
He could be very creepy as the master, or he could be very energetic. He could be like a young Capaldi almost as the doctor.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
Yeah, but I don't know exactly where the show's going, but it's just fascinating. The idea is an alienist back in the day, the 1800s, mm-hmm. is someone who... people with mental illnesses, extreme mental illnesses like dementia or schizophrenia, were considered alienated from their bodies, from their original selves. And an alienist is somebody who studies that.
Mm.
So a murder has occurred and someone is suspected of it, but they're not of right mind. So Daniel Brühl's character comes in to investigate it.
Ooh.
It's intriguing so far, and it's stirring a lot of... it's causing a lot of controversy that someone like him is involved, because he's not necessarily a policeman. He's more a scientist and a doctor and a quack, really. People don't take that sort of thing seriously. So people are complaining. He had, I think it was a kidney sent to him, wrapped up from somebody who was killed. That's how the first episode ended, which is gruesome, and it's like a warning of don't pursue this, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So very interested. It's also got, what's his name? Luke Evans in it. And I like Luke Evans a lot.
Nice. Yeah, I remember this popped up on Netflix probably like 2 years ago, and it piqued my interest. It's piquing my interest now more with the second season.
Yeah.
Because I know they're based off some novels, and I'm more familiar with that second novel than I am with the first one. I haven't read either of them, but I know more about the second one.
And okay, yeah.
Knowing that they are adapting that second one makes me want to check it out, so... Yeah, I'm glad to hear that it's good.
Yeah, well, I want to watch the show and then I want to dive into the book just because I know it's based on a book now. So yeah, I've only seen the first episode, but very much intrigued. It's got a very serious tone to it. Oh, Dakota Fanning's in it too, and she's fantastic in this.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that's a TV show I've been watching.
Hmm.
I've got another one of those, but I might swing the question back to you. What else have you been consuming?
Speaking of TV shows, yeah, finished Umbrella Academy Season Ooh. 2. I messaged you this on Messenger at the start of the week while you were mm-hmm. editing last week's episode. Basically, my main issue with the season last week, which I said was the pacing, and that pacing issue completely disappeared as soon as I started watching from episode 5 again, which is the episode I was up to after recording last week.
Yep, as it happens.
Yeah, my issues pretty much evaporated immediately, which always happens.
That was like me with Uncharted 2. I kind of was playing it after playing the first, but then I thought, I want to play something else. This isn't intriguing me. And as soon as I resumed it, there was a plot twist, and I went, oh, that's really cool, actually, and I've been hooked ever since. So, same sort of thing.
Yeah, that always happens. It's great. It's really good. I love it. Pretty much everything I said last week. I mean, the cast is incredible. I love the weirdness.
Yep.
There's not as much stylized action sequences like they were in the first one. Like
okay,
in the first season, there's like the diner scene, which was incredible. There's only one action sequence in this, or maybe two, that are on that level. But I think they do a lot more character stuff in this season, but particularly for Diego, whose his power is he can throw knives, but also control them telepathically so they can always reach their mark. And his character was not really that, I don't know, his character in the first season was basically, hey, he's like Batman, but his powers kind of suck.
So he's like Batman then.
Yeah. Yeah, like in this, I think he gets a lot more to do, and he's probably my favorite character in this season.
Nice. Is that the guy from Misfits?
No, that is Robert Sheehan, who plays, or Sheehan, who plays Klaus, the guy that can see dead people and is always drunk.
Well, you would be.
He's good. He's really good. He's always kind of been the fan favorite for the show.
Yeah.
Like him and the young kid whose character's name is 5. The internet loves them both, and you know, you can see why. Like Robert, he's excellent in the role. I think he's very funny.
Mm.
He might be getting a spin-off. I know his character is in the comics, and I might be on board with that. He doesn't really have that much to do in the second season. He just kind of says a lot of jokes. It felt like he had more to do in the first season. He had more of a character arc. Whereas in this, he starts off having a character arc, it doesn't go to plan, and then he just kind of gives up for the second half of the season, which was still pretty funny. But, yeah, I think they could have done a little bit more with him. It's just really good. It's really good.
Awesome.
It was really fun. I really enjoyed it. I would give it 2 thumbs up. It's excellent TV.
Wow.
Check it out. Highly recommend.
I get the feeling it's one of those shows you can't go into detail about because it spoils the weirdness and also any plot detail.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Everything's so connected with each other, I get the feeling.
Yeah, it's a very weird show. And, yeah, that works its way into the plot. Like, the plot is... Look how weird we are sometimes, which is fine. It's very enjoyable to watch. So, yeah.
Look what we're doing. Yes, you don't believe it, but we're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, if you were a little bit thrown off by the pacing of that first season, it does fix itself in this second season, even though episodes 3 and 4 are a little slow at times. I think after that, it picks up dramatically. Just as weird. It's excellent stuff. Excited to see what season 3 is, because I'm not going to read the comics this time around, so I have no idea what I'm walking into, which I'm very excited about. And, it's excellent stuff. I think it might be 18 months until season 3, considering everything that's happening, but I'm not too sure. But it's really good. Highly recommend The Umbrella Academy.
I feel like we could just give every show a pass for that. It's fine.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
2 thumbs up, Umbrella Academy. What else have you got?
Another TV show is one of my favorite ever episodes of Doctor Who.
Ooh.
I kind of got interested in Doctor Who again with the announcement that Christopher Eccleston, who played the Ninth Doctor, is returning on Big Finish, which, for those who don't know, is an audio company that makes audio plays and audio books. And they basically kept Doctor Who alive between the 1980s and 2005. Mm. They gave Paul McGann, who up until that point had only been in the TV movie, they gave him seasons worth of Doctor Who stories in audio form. And they're about to do the same for Christopher Eccleston, who only had one season of TV Doctor Who. And all power to him, honestly. He had a falling out with some of the higher-ups at the BBC and some of the executive producers of Doctor Who and just didn't want anything to do with it for about 15 years.
Yeah.
And then now he's decided to return. But that just got me really excited and a bit nostalgic. And late last year, I was doing a bit of a marathon of the Stephen Moffat era. Mm-hmm. And I got 12 episodes in. And so the last episode I'd seen was The Pandorica Opens. And I watched The Big Bang, the season finale, this week, just to round off that season. Just because I was feeling, you know, the Doctor Who spirit again, in a way.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite episodes ever. I won't go into details in case people haven't seen it, because it's convoluted to jump into the second part of a very complicated season finale.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, within the first 10 minutes, one of the main characters says to a younger version of herself, "This is where it gets complicated, kid."
Yes.
That's all I will say.
Yeah.
But I think it's magical. It's one of my top 3 episodes in my favorite ever season of Doctor Who. So that's how special it is to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's excellent.
Yeah. And I think that may be, in a weird way, what got me interested in watching The Alienist, because I've thought for a while that Daniel Bruhl would make a great Doctor, and then I thought I need to see more with him in it. And then, as if it read my mind, the trailer for it started playing on Netflix because I scrolled over it. But yeah, it's really good stuff, that Doctor Who. I like it.
it's a good show.
It is.
They should keep making it.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm really excited for the Eccleston stuff. I haven't listened to Big Finish in years, just because there's so much.
Yeah, that's exactly my problem too.
And the quality does kind of ebb and flow, but it's Christopher Eccleston, so I'm definitely going to listen to this, because he's incredible. And maybe he shows up in the 60th anniversary now, who knows? That could be cool.
Well, who knows, because it's certainly not, Russell T. Davies in charge of the show, so he might be tempted to come back. We'll see.
Yeah.
I hope they actually do a 60th anniversary episode. They might not, but
yeah, that would be 2023, so
it would, yeah.
We might even have a new showrunner then.
We could do, actually. That'd be interesting. But Peter Davison has said that he's interested in doing a 10th anniversary 5-ish Doctors special.
Yes, please do that.
Yes, Colin Baker's down as well. So, yes, please.
Yes, excellent, excellent.
They should get the other New Who doctors and say, I tell you, as soon as I got a woman, they weren't interested in us anymore or something like that. So you could have Matt Smith, David Tennant and Capaldi all having a beer down the pub or something like that.
That is excellent. Oh, dear.
So I've only got two more things. So I'm going to ask you
again,
what have you consumed?
Do I only have two more things? Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I finished...
never mind. I've got three. I just remembered.
Okay, cool. I guess I'll talk about American Horror Story Cult for a bit because I finished it.
Yay.
Positives. It was 11 episodes. I like the short. It's only two episodes shorter, but, you know, it made it snappier.
You know, that almost said it like, there wasn't much of it. I didn't have to put up with it for too long.
Yeah. Look, it was an okay season. I liked the first five episodes. I thought they were really fun. It was a lot of Sarah Paulson basically playing this character who is triggered by everything in terms of her fears, but, you know, it's also like a thing because the whole season's political and probably annoyed some people. But I thought that was pretty funny, her just getting annoyed at everything and then this clowns and she's like, I don't like clowns. So I thought that was pretty fun. And and I've forgotten his name. Is it Luke Evans? No, Luke Pete. No, hang on.
No. Evan Peters.
Evan Peters. I don't know why I forgot his name. I think
that's all right there. So I was gonna say Pete Evan, no, whatever it was. Yeah, there are too many Lukes and Peters in Hollywood.
Yes.
And Chris's.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, definitely. Evan Peters playing a far-right a cult leader, a psychopath, just a bad dude he plays, and he's great. Mm-hmm. He's really, really, really funny. He also plays Charles Manson, and...
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
Jesus, and...
And Jesus.
Yeah, a bunch of other characters. He plays, like, all these cult leaders. Controversial. He plays all these historical characters that kind of work into what he's doing.
So not L. Ron Hubbard, then?
No, but that would have been great.
It would.
That would have been very fun. He does play Jim Jones, which was really good.
I thought you were going to say Jim Jeffries.
Jim Jeffries. If only, that would be great. Young Jim Jeffries.
Got to get rid of your guns, America.
but he was really good. Alison Pill is in the season. Quite an understated performance from her, but she's great. Wow. Good to see her again. She's been in a lot. I've just like seen her in a lot of stuff this year. It just seems like she's just done so much work.
Yeah, my introduction was Picard, but then she's in Devs, isn't she?
Yes, she's in Devs.
This
is The Newsroom, the big show that she did?
I'm not sure.
I think it was. Anyway, who else was in this season? Oh, Billie Lord was in it, and she's excellent. She's so good.
Oh, I love her. Oh, she's great.
Again, quite an understated performance from her, but, you know, she's great and deserves to get more roles.
I was going to say she's known for that, and then I remembered... Booksmart.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I always forget her performance in Booksmart. That was phenomenal. That was
It was. So she was amazing. And that movie's great.
Yeah, definitely. I think for this season of AHS, like, cast are great. The gore is pretty great. Like, it looks really good. I like a lot of that. I think it's the lowest rated season in terms of like the classification. I think this is
all right,
supposedly the tamest, but it doesn't feel like it. I don't know why this is rated so much lower than all the other DVD releases of the other seasons. I have no idea why, because the violence is quite heavy impact, and maybe it's because it's more, I don't know, clown-based. It's not supernatural, it's people. I don't know. Yeah, the issue here is the story.
Oh, really?
The issue with this series is the story.
Yeah.
Because every episode, there's a twist. Every episode, it's like, you thought I was working for you, but I was working for this person all along.
Dun-dun-dun.
And every episode, there's two of those, right? Every episode, there's two big character twists based off where their allegiance lies.
You no good quadruple crossing...
And out of those two twists, at the end of the episode, one of them was always a fake out. Like, one of them was...
You're no good triple crossing.
Every single episode, someone's like, I was working for this person all along. And then there's a 50-50 chance that person at the end of the episode will be like, haha, I was just playing you the whole time. I am a double agent. And it's like, come on.
But I was working for you, so technically you were just working for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah. And that was annoying, but also funny.
Yeah.
So I think it succeeded in being entertaining. But again, if you're looking at this season for a coherent narrative, there is not one at all. There just isn't. There just isn't one. Mm-hmm. Maybe the first five episodes have one. But after that point, it gets kind of ridiculous. So,
wow.
Yeah. It didn't even have like a proper through line like Asylum did, which I liked how scattershot that season was. It was kind of like, we're going to do everything at once and it's going to be very messy but very fun.
Yep.
This season was like, we're going to try and do that, but also the characters just are going to change allegiances every episode and it'll be really confusing.
I've been enjoying these seasons vicariously through you because I somehow know what you're talking about and I've never seen the show.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. That's good. So what would you rate this season based off watching it vicariously through me?
Well, it's interesting. Based on what you've said, for the performances, you'd give it a one thumb up.
Mm.
But for the overall story, I'd say a schmear?
Yeah. 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 That's correct.
Nice.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, good job.
Cool.
Yeah, good job. I found it interesting how the political satire-ness completely evaporated at the end.
Mm.
Maybe... Because like it...
I said that like I knew what you were talking about. It's like, yes, good point.
Yes. Yes. No, it did. Yeah, I don't know. It's such a weird show because there's only... Yeah, I don't know. I like how ridiculous it gets at points. But I just want one season that tells a story.
Yeah.
That tells a beginning, middle, and end. And I guess that was Murder House. I guess the first season did that. But I'm just like, I want that again. Just a beginning, middle, and end.
Be a normal show.
Yeah. Oh, well. I guess it's also because I'm binging them all back to back, so...
That could be part of it.
That probably, yeah. I want something else you've been consuming.
Oh, what's something else? I've mentioned it already, but some more Uncharted 2, and I'm loving it.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like I was getting towards the end, and then they introduced an oasis. I'll just say that.
Ah, yes.
And I was like, oh, God, okay, this is not over yet. This isn't anywhere near over yet. Okay, cool.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I remember feeling the same way, yes.
And I wasn't disappointed. Like, it was feeling like it was over, and I thought, oh, this is another Uncharted 1, where it finishes sooner than I thought it would, because it's for an older generation. But nope, there's more to go.
Mm.
Thoroughly enjoying it. Nathan Drake's a great character. Chloe's an awesome character.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun to have Helena back. I was kind of surprised by that, but happy to have her back.
Mm.
And I think Chloe swaps sides all the time. Like, I was going to come up with an analogy, but more often than Adric in Doctor Who.
Yes. Yeah.
But at the moment, she's on my side and there are three of us running around, which you could tell the computing power's gotten stronger because you could have three on our side now, which is funny. Good stuff. Really fun game. The music is amazing. I didn't realize how used to like a solo guitar playing and some ambient sounds from The Last of Us 2 that I'd gotten. But, you know, there's a full orchestra playing Nathan's amazing theme.
Oh, yeah.
In this, and I got goosebumps. I was like, oh, that's good.
It is very much like you're playing an Indiana Jones movie in that sense. It's quite epic, yeah.
Yeah. I saw a kind of retrospective of 30 years of Naughty Dog, which, by the way, Naughty Dog sounds so much better said with an American accent. Naughty Dog.
Naughty Dog.
As opposed to Naughty Dog, because we like to pronounce every bit of the word.
Yeah, it's true.
They just go Naughty Dog. And we... Anyway. Yeah. Neil Druckmann was saying, after doing The Last of Us, he said it was kind of fun to get out of the heaviness and just do an action-adventure game again. I can't remember. I think he did number 3 after he did the first Last of Us. Maybe it was 4.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, he said it was nice that Uncharted felt like a familiar thing to get back into. And it's an action adventure compared to the serious character stuff, even though there is a lot of character stuff in Uncharted, but it's not the driving force of the narrative.
Mm.
And I could definitely see that, but it certainly feels like Indiana Jones. It feels like a romp to play. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about the definitive playthrough for the first Uncharted?
Definitive playthrough? I don't think so.
It's Nolan North playing the game with Troy Baker there with him.
Oh, nice.
And they get guest actors, some of whom, or guest appearances from people. Some of them are actors. Some of them are the creative team behind it.
Mm.
And they've done one for part two. And it's just funny how Nolan picked up a gun or some ammo and he got 60 rounds, whereas he got 5 in The Last of Us. And Troy said, God, that's the difference between our games right there.
Yep. Yeah, so true. Yeah, you never run that out of ammo in Uncharted.
Oh, I've gotten pretty close. Well, that's because I just go berserk and I don't worry about picking more up. And then I go, wait, my machine gun's nearly out. I'm going to be back to a pistol now. Oops.
Yeah, that's true. I did that as well.
Whereas in The Last of Us, I sneak around and I go, oh my God, yes, 2 more bullets. Oh, I feel so much safer.
Yes. Yeah.
I believe they've done the definitive playthroughs for the first two Uncharted games. Some of the guest stars they get is, what's her name? Not Chloe. Well, she plays Chloe. Claudia Black.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say Chloe Black, but that's not right.
Yeah.
And they have her on one of the, they've got multiple parts because obviously this is uploading videos to YouTube and it's a very long game. So
yeah.
But in one of the parts, she's in it. I haven't watched that yet because I'm not sure if I'm up to that yet in the game. So I've been playing it safe, but I've just seen the guest stars that they've had. So mm-hmm. That's quite fun. But I recommend playing these games and checking out the definitive playthrough, because it's funny because Nolan's not great at video games. He's great at appearing in them and performing in them, but I think his age shows. He's not used funny. To controllers. It is, yeah.
That is funny. Yeah.
But it's great to hear stories of... I think the reason why Tom Holland was cast in Uncharted was because he loved the games and he's gone on record as saying that, and he played them in his trailer. Mm-hmm. Troy Baker did the same thing. So he's kind of saying he's getting nostalgic watching Nolan play, but he's also saying, I can't believe I'm watching Nathan Drake play Nathan Drake.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, that's some good stuff. So definitely check that out.
Nice. All right.
So that's the latest thing on my list. What about you, Sandro? What have you consumed?
A bit more reading, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Been reading a lot of comics.
Ooh.
Particularly one comic book series, which is a spin-off of a series I've been reading for a while called Fables. The spin-off is Jack of Fables, which I've been catching up on because I'm getting closer and closer to the big Fables crossover, and I'm like, I'm not prepared for this. I need to catch up on the other books, and the one with the longest amount of issues is this one. So I'm going through the first 6 volumes, and I'm getting ready for that crossover. So yeah, Jack of Fables. It's the same writer as the main book.
Mm-hmm.
The artist is Lila Sturges. So Jack in the Fables book, he's, you know, Jack the Giant Slayer, Jack in the Beanstalk, he's that guy.
Mm-hmm.
In the world of Fables, he is a bit of an anti-hero. He's pretty full of himself. He's a joker. He's the worst. He's a terrible person. And I always enjoyed his solo stories in the main book, but I was always like, I don't want to read a book entirely dedicated to this guy because he is the worst. He's very annoying. So when this book came to be, there's a particular story arc where he goes to Hollywood in the main title, and then from there on, he kind of spins off into his own thing. When I reached that, I went, I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. I'll read Jack of Fables later. And now I'm there, and I'm starting to read him. And it is funny. It's very funny. The humor is there, and it is quite good. There's a lot of breaking of the fourth wall. I particularly like the next issue things, because at the end of every issue it's always like, coming up next time, here's a little sneak preview, except it's just him being like, yeah, next time I get heaps of money and I ride a plane like it's a bomb in Strangelove and I do all this all stuff right. And also the villain just dies and I don't need to fight him. It is quite funny. Stuff like that. Mm. It's just, yeah, he's a terrible person. It's really annoying. And that is the point. But I'm also just there, like, it's working too well. The annoyance. Right. They succeeded too well at making him really annoying. And they do focus on a lot of side characters as well. So, like, he does have a team around him at all times. It's not like you're just following him as a character. He does have, like, to quote him, sidekicks that are always around. And they're great and they're really enjoyable to follow. It's just that, yeah, he's annoying. So,
yep.
I don't know. I'm very torn because it is very funny. Mm. And I do like a lot of the elements. They're introducing some very interesting stuff in this series that they couldn't do in the main book because it would be too silly. But I really like a lot of those concepts of, like, who actually wrote the books that made these characters come into existence. Like, do they just exist in an alternate reality? When they came into our world, is that when the book started? Like, that sort of stuff is really interesting to me.
Yeah.
And the fact that they get their power based off how popular they are. So someone like Snow White, if she dies, she'll always be able to come back because there's, like, movies based off her.
All right.
But what of your Humpty Dumpty? Who remembers Humpty Dumpty? He's just an egg. If he falls down, can he come back? I don't know.
Can the king's horses and the king's men put him back together again?
Exactly. So it explores that idea a lot more than the main book, which I really like. And there's some really cool concepts in there. And that's kind of the main reason why I'm reading it, because I find that stuff really interesting. And Jack is funny.
Mm.
I do laugh at least once every two pages based off something stupid that he says. But he is annoying.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's the same thing as American Horror Story. I'm reading these so quickly and so close together that the issues are amplified because of the binged in nature of how I'm reading them. So that's my rant.
Yeah, that's interesting. That reminds me, actually, in a lot of ways, of the book The Hogfather by Terry Pratchett.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's kind of based on belief in things. And if you believe in something enough, it exists, at least in the world of the Discworld.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, there's a quote about Jack the Giant Killer, and I'm going to read it. It's from a nanny who's reading to her two charges, like her two children she's looking after, and she's rewritten the story of Jack and the beanstalk. So she says, and then Jack chopped down what was the world's last beanstalk, adding murder, ecological terrorism to the theft, incitement and trespass charges already mentioned. And all the giant's children didn't have a daddy anymore. And he got away with it and lived a happily ever after without so much as a guilty twinge about what he'd done, which just proves that you can be excused for anything if you're a hero because no one asks inconvenient questions.
Yes, that's so spot on though.
Yes.
Yeah.
It just, the more you talked about it, like, I thought, wow, did they read The Hogfather and then kind of copy it slightly? Like, not exactly the same, but there were certain elements that sounded similar.
I wouldn't be surprised if, the writer for these two, for Fables was influenced by Pratchett. Because there is a lot of, like, Pratchett-ness kind of, like, mixed into the two titles. So, yeah.
Fantastic.
What am I up to? I'm up to volume 5. Mm-hmm. So, two more volumes until the crossover. And then there's 3 volumes after that. It only went for, like, 50 issues. So, I might finish it afterwards. I know that the main character kind of changes a little bit after the crossover. I've had some spoilers, so I already kind of know what's going to happen to the title for the end, which I'm actually glad to know because it means that I don't have to put up with the annoyingness for the entire run. So, you know. But yeah. Have you got anything else? I've got a weird movie and then the main thing we were going to talk a little bit on about.
Yes, I've got another thing before you do your weird movie and we go to the main thing. I watched the new Netflix movie, Project Power.
Ooh.
Which stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yay, he's back on screen. Although he put on online saying, people have been saying that I haven't been on screen. It's because I've been filming them, and this is the second of three movies that is in this year to be released. I don't know what the other two are, but apparently he's in stuff, and there's another one coming soon.
Yeah, there's one on Amazon, which is he's on a plane, and the plane's hijacked, I think. It looks pretty good.
Nice. Well, this one was also pretty good, right?
Okay.
I don't know. I've got really mixed feelings. It's, on a technical level, it's achieved brilliantly. There are amazing visual effects and special effects, I guess, because I like to be very specific about the difference between those, because for those who don't know the difference, special effects is what happens on set. Visual effects are the CGI and stuff like that.
Yes.
But both of which are top quality in this, actually. I think it was better than I was expecting in that regard for some reason. I don't know why. I just kind of written it off as potentially being feeling a bit more indie than it is, but it's got Netflix funding, so it's almost obviously going to be better than I gave it credit for.
Sure.
It's also got Jamie Foxx in it.
Mm-hmm.
Which he's excellent in anything he's in, really. And this is no exception. He's really, really good. I might save details for later on, but the action is phenomenal. And the way that ties in with the cinematography is also excellent. There's a sequence that, not necessarily exactly the way it's shot, but the energy in it and the fact that it's a one shot reminded me, it's probably a one shot in the same way, but it reminded me of Kingsman in the church. Mm.
Okay.
In that looks like a one-shot, but there are hidden cuts. So I'm sure there were hidden cuts in this, but really impressive stuff with the action. I felt like the plot, lots of great ideas in there, and I hadn't really seen stuff like it, but there are some cliches, and the ending, certainly, I felt the same way about this the way I did with The Old Guard.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So if you want to know a little bit more about that, because I'm keeping it vague for now, go and listen to our episode where we talked about The Old Guard. I like both movies. They're both really good. But in the end, I think they might have played it safe, is all I'll say.
Hmm.
I do actually want to go in depth because I think it might be worth it. So whenever you end up watching it, let me know and I'll bring some notes to the table. But yes, Project Power, check it out, people.
Hmm. Yeah, I'll try and watch it before next week then.
Nice.
Yeah, it says here it costs just under $100 million, so that's very expensive for a Netflix movie.
Yeah, true.
I wonder if they were planning on doing a theatrical run for it. I don't know if it was developed as a Netflix film or not.
Yeah, not sure.
Yeah, interesting. Well, speaking of movies, just very quickly, there is a weird movie that I've got to talk about.
That means, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Weird Movies with Sandro.
Although I guess Project Power could have been a weird movie for you as well, so we should have done that intro for your thing, but anyway.
And then I did one as well. I'm just going to edit that onto the end.
I did one as well. That is very funny. I don't know if it's a movie because it isn't even an hour long, but I watched Host, the Zoom meeting movie.
All right.
That's on Shudder, about six friends who were like, we're bored in lockdown. Let's do a seance on Zoom. And spooky stuff happens.
Yep.
It's good. It's really good. I really enjoyed it. The first thing that kind of stood out to me is the visual effects, because there are quite a few, and I went into this being like, it's just people kind of filming their screens at home and acting like scuttle-like stuff is happening. So when, like, spooky visuals, I don't know, what can I say that's not a spoiler? Things floating, for example. I did not expect that to be a part of this movie at all. I was like, this is just some people at home making a movie. But no, it's got, like, some actual budget behind it.
Wow.
And the way that the tone and just everything about it does make it feel that, yeah, it's just people at home having fun, and then that sort of stuff starts happening and it's so much more believable than it would be in something like, say, Unfriended, which was ridiculous and over the top from the get-go. This is very much more like realistic, and I think that's also helped because of the performances, because they're amazing. Like, the acting in this is way better than I expected it to be, and probably way better than a film like this deserves, because, like, it's really good. The performances are fantastic. I think they were allowed to improvise quite a bit, and I think that helps. And also, they're basically playing themselves. Their character names are the same as their actual names. So stuff like that, yeah, just helped it feel quite natural. And yeah, some really, really excellent stuff in there. Tension was unrelenting. I think I ended this movie in a sweat, because I was like, oh boy, that was intense. And I think a lot of that is just because it's really well directed. It's really well realized. A lot of the... I don't like the word, but I guess it is the only word you can use for a film like this. I guess the scares are nothing we haven't seen before, but because of that very realistic setup, they feel more real when you get to them. And there isn't necessarily any character development that makes you care for the characters in a way that you would in a longer movie, I think. But you see things from their perspective, and yeah, it's really well done. The only negative point might be I found it hard to relate to the movie because it's filmed on a Mac, so that kind of ruined my...
Because you're out of touch with sophisticated computing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
No, because you have got a sensible bank account and you don't want to overspend. I'm a huge Apple fan, but come on, Apple. Be cheaper.
Maybe that as well. And also, there's a lot of sequences which you need because the entire film is filmed from the webcam of a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
But scenes where the character's like, I'm going to go walk down this corridor. Let me hold my laptop in a way that you can see my POV as I'm walking down this corridor.
Oh, right.
And that was a little silly, but you don't really care because you know that it's a movie.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And look, at least there wasn't some sort of way to get the FBI knocking on the door and then playing the sound effect of a shotgun cocking and then somebody being wiped out on the staircase.
That was very funny, but yes, that was also...
You're a cruel man to find that funny.
Just took me right out of the movie. I was like, this is stupid. Like, come on.
That's the only bit of that movie I've seen because I was intrigued when you mentioned it.
Oh, you saw that scene?
I did.
Did you find it funny? Like, maybe not in the context of, like, maybe you need the context of the ridiculousness of the film to find it funny. I don't know.
I thought that trained, well, not soldiers, but people trained with guns would recognize when the sound of a gun is being played over a speaker than when there's actually a gun being used.
Ah, right. You okay, so that means that you didn't see the very important exposition from a couple scenes before where he said, yeah, my speakers are really high quality. Which is a line.
Yeah, but then it'll be louder than the gun.
Yeah.
I find the whole concept of that film ridiculous. This one sounds a little bit more interesting, but yeah, I rolled my eyes at it out of anything.
Yeah, it is a bit like that. I'll rate it one thumb up. It's good. It's good stuff.
That's good.
Oh, there's one point where a person puts a mask on and they put the mask underneath their nose, and I went, no, that's not how you wear a mask.
Oh my god!
Yeah, she quickly changes it and pulls it up properly. But yeah.
You'd be fine if you lived here in Victoria.
Oh, you got them there. Good job.
All right. I did.
That's a weird movie.
It is. It's two weird movies. I mentioned the other one.
Two weird movies. Yes. Oh, yeah, we're doing that thing next week, so...
That's next week? Oh, boy. Okay.
Guess we got to worry about Project Power as well. Yeah, sweet. I might watch it tonight. I mean, I've got to watch another movie for Aldi. And I know that movie's going to be very silly and fun, so I probably won't be able to go to bed right after it, because I'll be like, oh, that was too good. So yeah, I'll watch Project Power.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe we can record it as a separate segment before the guest comes on. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, that could be fun. So I've got to really start watching those other movies.
Yeah, we can delay it by a week if we need to.
Anyway, that's a completely different topic. Let's get into a... guess what is going to be our main feature this episode?
I guess so. Yeah.
Which is, if you haven't noticed, there is a beta for the Avengers game out there in the public.
It is. Yeah, it was there last weekend. It is there again next weekend. I think the one this coming weekend, and that's what I meant by next weekend because of time when we're recording, you know what I mean. The weekend of the 21st to 23rd, I think that's on all platforms.
Nice.
Because the one from this weekend as of recording was on PS4 only, I think. I think the next one's going to be on Xbox as well. So, yeah.
So it went pre-order, which is what I played last time because I pre-ordered it. Now it's general PS4, and then next week is everyone, every platform.
I think so.
Nice. Okay. So, I played like the tiny snippet of the story we get last weekend, and I've been playing today some of the missions and just training the characters and having a bit of fun. It's all fresh in your mind, so how about you start us off?
Okay, yeah. It's the Avengers game as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, the Avengers video game. Okay.
I mentioned that, didn't I?
maybe you did. I don't know. Am I out of it today? We don't know.
I don't know.
We don't know.
No, I feel like I am, but there we go.
Maybe we both are.
I'm a bit tipsy, that's my thing.
Oh.
Like I said, the podcast is 18, so I'm drinking.
Perfect. Yeah, the Avengers game. So your first impressions were pretty positive, right?
Yeah, I mean, I had fun, but I came right off The Last of Us Part 2, which is an emotional roller coaster and a masterpiece and confronting and just intense to popcorn personified with this game.
Yo, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Uh-oh.
There's definitely things that I really liked about it. There's also a lot of things that I really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those positives and negatives could change, though, because this is a beta. So some of the negatives might be changed. Some of the positives might be changed. I don't know.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, there's quite a few things. So the bridge mission, I guess we should start off with that, which is kind of the bulk of the... It's definitely the more showy part of this beta, I think.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which is... pretty much the thing from that first trailer we got, yeah, where there's a bridge being attacked and you kind of play through the entire core team of the Avengers as seen in the film from 2012, that core team,
yeah,
as they cross the bridge and fight people and you kind of go between them all, which was really cool.
I enjoyed that, yeah. I think it was quite platformed, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Again, I like the free kind of sprawling worlds of Horizon Zero Dawn and Last of Us, which is, you know, it's got a direction to it, but you can at least explore. That level was a bit too focused on just going forward.
Yeah, it did feel like a interactive cutscene until you get to the Black Widow section, where you've got a little bit more to do, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, like, I think that section really does highlight the graphics, though, because this game does look good. It's very, like, it looks great.
Oh, yeah.
Character designs are pretty good. You can customize the costumes, though, so if you've got an issue with the character designs, like,
yeah,
just get different costumes, you'll be fine. So, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's an incentive to keep playing the beta by training your characters, and when you get to level 7, I think you get basically a free suit to change it to.
Nice, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the voice acting is great. You mentioned it before, but Iron Man's phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
That's Nolan North, right?
It's Nolan North, yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
And the quips are perfectly in character. Just...
oh, definitely.
Little things like when he fires his what's called uni beam, he goes, heart attack!
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or Thor says something kind of funny and Tony goes, was that a joke? Did Thor just make a joke?
Yeah, yeah, that stuff is spot on.
Yeah.
It's funny going from Last of Us to this because there is this very small sequence where you've got Black Widow and Bruce Banner in a
yeah.
vehicle together and because it's, you know...
Uh-huh. It's Troy Baker and Laura Bailey.
It's the voices of Joel and...
and his nemesis, and Abby.
Yeah. And the interaction was just like, yes...
yeah.
That was very funny because Troy kind of does the thing.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I'll go do that.
You're like, oh, that's Troy Baker. There we go.
Yeah. But I loved another thing that felt a bit Last of Us is how, I guess this is sort of spoilery. So if you haven't played the beta, if you're not too up on the idea of the game, careful with the rest of this segment, but he's kind of developing a bit of a relationship with Kamala Khan and she's quite young and he's a not quite father figure, but he's a more mature person and it's Troy Baker filling that role again.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. Yeah, them like walking through a forest and you're like, I see what, nah, there we go. That's why he got this role. So yeah, it
traversed the landscapes of America in Last of Us Part One, and they thought, yes, we're gonna go for him.
Yeah, I really like this version of Kamala Khan as well.
Oh, I love Kamala Khan so much.
They're very well written. Yeah, the voice acting is great. Mm. The gameplay for her, I'm not 100% sold on.
Ah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, just... And I think that's the case with a lot of these heroes. The gameplay, I don't know. I think there's more strategy in her than there is in...
Black Widow's my favorite.
Certain others. I completely agree. Yes, I completely agree. Yeah, I think let's go through them.
Sure.
Black Widow's great because she basically plays like Lara Croft, but with infinity ammo.
Yeah, that's another thing. This felt shallow in comparison. It's even more, you know, ridiculous than Uncharted, where you get so much ammunition.
Yeah.
In that regard, it seems a bit ridiculous. But in terms of context of this game, it's fun. You don't want to worry about collecting ammunition.
Yeah.
She's a superhero. She would be equipped with... Maybe she's got replicators from Star Trek making ammunition as she's fighting. I don't know.
Yeah.
You don't want to have to worry about that.
Mm.
But the more skills you can unlock as well, it gets even better.
Mm. Okay.
Have you... Yeah, you've just done the bridge mission, basically?
Yeah, the bridge and then the rest of the story that we got there. So I think it was about 2 hours-ish.
Yeah, pretty much. I've been playing the... What are they called? The Harm Rooms, which is basically... The holodeck from Star Trek.
Ah, okay. Yeah, right.
And so I've been training the characters there, and you can level them up and unlock more skills, and the combat gets even better for all of them. So maybe that's why I don't mind Kamala's fighting style. It's not too bad.
Mm.
I like the animations for it. Like when she, her ranged attack isn't like Hulk's, where she picks something up, or Iron Man, where he fires his repulsor. Or even Black Widow, where she just shoots them with her guns. She stretches her fist out and punches someone with a massive fist. I find that fun to do.
Mm, yeah, yeah. I really like the visual style for her powers, definitely.
Yeah. But yeah, you wanted to go through the different fighting styles?
Yeah, sure. Yes. So Black Widow, I would agree, is the standout for me. Captain America, I thought was really good as well. I really like that small section with him.
Yeah, good follow-up, I reckon.
Mm.
Oh, by the way, the guy who plays him liked one of my tweets.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's very cool.
I said, I'm really keen to get into this. I've been wanting an Avengers game for ages. Let's go, team. And I tagged him, Troy Baker, Laura Bailey, Travis Willingham, the lady who plays Kamala, and someone else, one of the developers.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And I just said, let's go, team. And he said, yay.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Yeah, not to spoil it, but I hope he gets more to do, because I really liked playing as him.
Yeah, I don't know how he's going to get more to do, but he's a prominent feature in some of the loading screens and stuff like that, so you're like, surely he's not just in it for 5 minutes of gameplay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think that's the other thing as well. I would play games based off Black Widow and Captain America.
Individuals?
Like solo games based off those two?
I'd play a Winter Soldier game.
Yeah, definitely.
If it was a game version of the movie, The Winter Soldier, that'd be great.
Mm.
Oh, imagine a level where you jumped between the helicarriers.
Ooh, whoa. That would be cool. Good. That would be really awesome. But yeah, unfortunately, the rest of the characters I didn't really like with my time with them.
Yeah, I quite liked Thor. I feel like we even had less time with him than Captain America, maybe.
Yeah, it was quite short with Thor, wasn't it? With Thor, he controls almost identically to Kratos in the recent God of War.
Okay.
You throw his Mjolnir and then it comes back, very similar to Kratos' axe in that game.
But does that make lightning when you do that?
Yeah, that's true. But it did kind of feel like they were directly ripping off that style, but I do like that style. So I think I would play as him a lot, though.
Mm.
But it wasn't hard to be like, I know where this is from. So yeah, that was a little bit sad. Why do you think of Hulk?
I still don't know.
Yeah, it's a bit button mashy, isn't it?
I've got mixed feelings. Bit button mashy. It could get a bit more strategic the more skills you unlock.
Mm, okay.
So then you could be a bit more precise with it. But I don't know. I feel like I should be able to punch down every wall I come across as Hulk, and you can't because it's a game and not designed that way.
Especially when the large extended sequence of Hulk in this game is indoors, you would kind of be like, I want to punch all the walls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm not sure. Like, it's fun. I don't know. I think it's one of the best interpretations of the difference between Bruce Banner and Hulk that I've ever seen.
It is pretty good. That's true.
I like that he's leaving messages for the big guy, and he's almost pleading him to, all right, just do what Kamala and Maria Hill say, okay? It's kind of funny.
Yeah. That was one of the big things for me, was the story and the characterizations I think are really good.
Yeah.
And then the gameplay, I'm not sold on yet, outside of Black Widow.
Yeah.
Not really sold on.
I've finally gotten used to Iron Man. Took me a while. I thought, I was a bit disappointed with how he operated, but I learned it through the training mission, like the training level.
Okay.
So when I get into actual encounters with story-based NPCs, then I think it might be even better. So actually, I would recommend, if you got the time, do a couple rounds of the training levels and read up on the skills and how to achieve them.
Okay.
Because there are basically combos that you could do, and it feels a lot more satisfying.
All right. Yeah, will do. Yeah. Especially for Iron Man. Yeah. Because I feel like his combat style feels a lot deeper than it lets on at first.
Yeah. So. You want him to be really cool, and you can unlock the different sorts of weapons he's got too. Because you just start off really just firing the repulsors. But then I've unlocked missiles and the lasers. You know, the lasers that he uses in the first Avengers movie to cut the side of the big, whatever they are, the Chitauri invading space whales.
Yeah. Yes.
You can unlock lasers like that. So that's pretty cool. So
that's cool.
Yeah. But it gets better the more experience, more weapons you get, etc. And then once you learn, I suppose they're combos. They're not combos in the traditional sort of Tekken Mortal Kombat fighting style way,
no.
But there are certain strategies you could follow that really makes you feel like you're more in control and it's not just button mashing anymore.
Yeah. Okay, cool. The other point I wanted to bring up was the mission, not necessarily the mission designs, but the fact that going into these AIM bases and fighting robots and doing the same missions over and over again is going to be a big part of the game, and that really kind of turned me off buying it full price. That in particular, I was like, ooh, okay. Like, that's going to be the, and not necessarily the bulk of the game, but if you want to unlock all the stuff, yeah, it's a good idea to do those. That, yeah, I'm not a massive fan of that.
I think, yeah, I'll see how it goes. I mean, I've already bought it, so I have no choice. but I think the story is going to be more in depth than that. I think those are to keep people interested once they've completed the story.
Yeah, that's right.
At least that's what I'm hoping for, so that you can then play with the online audience, kind of Star Wars Battlefront-ish, where there's a campaign, but they want you to keep playing online. I hope that's what it's like. I'm going to play the campaign anyway, but I think I'm going to try and avoid the online stuff as much as possible, just because if I want to play an online game, I'll buy an online game.
Yeah.
If I want to do a single player, I go for a single player game. But we'll see how we go. But I'm hoping that that's there just to try and increase the longevity of it all.
Yeah, it does feel quite like dungeony in like an MMO, for example. You get like a bunch of friends and you go and do this particular dungeon. It feels a little bit like that. So if that's what they're aiming for, I think that's pretty good.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Damn it, I was trying to think of a joke. I was going to say something like, oh, in stark contrast to...
That's good. Yeah.
Thank you.
No, I can't think of... No.
I tell you, we're not lightning quick with these ones.
Oh, that's Quicksilver and Thor.
It is.
It's very good.
I've got inhuman abilities when it comes to jokes.
I feel like you're stretching yourself a little bit there.
Oh... That was marvellous. Let's move on quick.
Is there anything else to say about it? No.
I don't know. It certainly does feel like an interactive trailer. so to speak. But I guess that's the point of about a beta. Test it out.
Yeah.
Get some feedback. Yeah. Tease people.
It's interesting because a lot of the times you get a beta for a game that hasn't had good press.
Mm.
To be like, no, the game's actually really good. You know, try it out for free and then buy it. For this beta, it feels more like there hasn't been any press, really, outside of the trailers. And this is where a lot of the awareness is going to come from, which is interesting.
Yeah. It's certainly causing a lot of ripples on Twitch at the moment.
Yeah, a lot of people. It's gotten a lot of people to pay attention to the game, I think, which is good advertisement. A good awareness building or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to buy full price. I think I'm going to wait until I know how long the story is.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, thanks. Just because, yeah, at this stage, I don't know if I would buy full price. Just because I did for Jedi Fallen Order and was a little disappointed by the gameplay on that, so.
I think I'm in the exact same boat. Because I keep going, ooh, it sounds like an interesting story. People really liked it. But it's $99 online. I'm like, ew. I just missed a sale where it was like $45. But even then, I was thinking, I've spent a lot of money on The Avengers and Last of Us Part 2 recently. I'm gonna ease off a little bit.
True. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the reviews are for this because so far they're very mixed, it seems, in terms of the beta. So,
but I'm mixed about it. I'm not much of a... I don't tend to care about gameplay if the story's good enough.
Mm.
This hasn't given me enough story to judge that because obviously it's a preview. So I think I'd have to play through the whole game and then tell you, but I get the feeling I'm going to enjoy the story, but it is just a pretty generic combat sort of game.
Yeah. Oh, well. And it looks like a good story either way, so, you know, it's going to be a good story to enjoy. So, yeah, like, either way.
It's how I look at Star Wars Battlefront.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically just an online shooter, but it's got the sounds and feel and look of Star Wars, so I will take that over an online version of Call of Duty.
Excellent. Yeah, definitely.
I like Call of Duty. I played it online, actually. It's fun. But because it's Star Wars, I lean towards the Star Wars one. So because this is Avengers, I'll take this over something else. I don't know.
What else has come out recently that's like this? Crash Bandicoot 3, It's About Time. I don't know.
Fortnite.
It's nothing like this. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know.
But yeah, cool. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, but that's why I'm really drawn into it, because it's an Avengers game and I've been wanting it for ages.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And MODOK's in it. I love MODOK. MODOK's great.
Yeah, I'm keen to see how they incorporate him, actually, because I don't particularly like MODOK because he looks so weird.
He does look very weird.
I hate to be prejudiced and all, but...
I was playing it last night and I sent a clip to someone of me being the Hulk, like walking around the jungle, like going like, I'm Jungle Hulk, you can't see me, I'm Jungle Hulk. And they were like, can you not see him because he's green? Because that's offensive. And I went, oh no.
Oh God.
Oh no. Silly me.
How is that offensive?
I don't know.
If anything, you're celebrating his natural camouflage. That's one of his strengths and good positive qualities.
Yeah. I really like the design of the Hulk in this. Like, it looks good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's comic booky, but it's not too comic booky like a lot of the other Hulk games.
That's how I feel about Hulk, Black Widow, and Kamala. The others I'm mixed feelings on. Iron Man's okay, and when you change his suit, he looks a bit more solid, so to speak.
Okay.
He looks more impressive. But I don't know. I've got mixed feelings about Thor and Captain America. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, it's the movie costumes, so...
Kind of?
Oh, yeah. Actually, no. The Captain America one isn't really, is it? It's quite different.
No. It does look actually a bit more military in a way.
Mm.
I think, anyway. Just how it pieces together. It's got different elements to it.
Yeah.
As opposed to Chris Evans looks good in a movie costume, if that makes sense.
Can you change the costumes only when you're playing as the character, or can I change all the costumes for all of them and make my own super ridiculous, like, 90s metal look for the Avengers whenever I'm playing?
Yeah, you could do that.
Oh, cool. I'm going to get the, there's this suit that Thor had in the 80s, and it was a
It was 80s.
Bright white, like aluminum. It's awful. I hope it's in the
game. I think it's there.
Yes.
I think it's there. There are some ridiculous looking ones, so I think it's there.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Spider-Man game. Like, they just put all the ridiculous costumes in. And it does
awesome
take you out of the...
too.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah. Oh, yeah, that Spider-Man game. Some of those costumes were incredible. Mm-hmm. I loved it. Yeah. Yeah, cool. I like that they have included that as well, like the costume stuff, because that is a big part of superheroes.
Agreed, yeah. I reckon there'll be more coming, too, upon official release.
Hmm.
I wonder if they could get licensing for some of the movie ones, but I'd love an Endgame Captain America. I think that's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Oh, Endgame Thor.
Oh.
Fat Thor.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Great.
Lebowski Thor.
Lebowski Thor. Yeah. Awesome.
All right. That was actually a longer chat about that than I expected. But yeah, there we go.
It was a bit long for 3 hours of gameplay. But now it's time for... No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's a fair bit to talk about. I'd said, you know, the gameplay was a bit average last time, but you had more detail about it. And I didn't want to give away too much for you, but now that you've played it, we can go into more detail. So, yeah.
Right, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm very intrigued to see what you think of the game as a whole, because I can, like, sometimes I feel like it's very obvious to kind of predict the way certain games are going to go in terms of whether the story or the gameplay are going to be great.
Yeah.
But for this game, I really don't know. Like, I don't know how the end product is going to be. So I'm very interested to see what you think.
I think it'll depend on the kind of characters you prefer, because I reckon some people out there would be loving Thor right now.
Mm.
Whereas you were kind of lukewarm on it because of the familiarity with Kratos. But I really like how Black Widow works. And I like sometimes they team up for takedown attacks, and her and Kamala kick butt. They're awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But yeah, I think it will depend on who you like playing as. And I think it also depends on the certain levels, because at some point, I reckon, based on what we've seen of the story, it's about reassembling the Avengers. So you'll go and try and find Thor. So maybe you'll play as Kamala finding Thor and then play as Thor for a bit.
Mm, yeah.
So we'll see how it goes, I guess.
I hope there's a segment where you can play as either Thor or Iron Man and you've got to fly through loops, just like the old Superman game. Just as a little throwback, that would be cool.
That would be fun. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Well, we've talked about those things. Now it's time to talk about other things, except these are things we haven't seen yet.
Yes, true.
Except we want to see them.
Yes.
Project Power for me. I'm going to watch it by next week. We'll talk about it. That'll be fun.
Nice. I would like to get back into the Ms. Marvel Kamala Khan comics, because I actually love that character so much. I feel like I jumped way ahead of you in terms of how far you've gotten into her comic run, but it's really good, and I want to get even further into it. I feel like I'm just touching the surface myself.
Nice.
She's a great character, and seeing this just reminded me of how good she is. So I want to get into that a bit more.
Definitely. She's, not to say too much, but she does start off the game wearing a Captain Marvel-styled T-shirt.
Yeah.
Which makes me think that Captain Marvel might be in the game, which I hope she is. That would be really cool to play.
There are rumors.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was like this mock-up of, you know, the loading screen where you had them all standing together and the Golden Gate Bridge behind them.
Yeah.
There was a mock-up of Captain Marvel there. I think Scarlet Witch was there.
Ooh.
And someone else as well. Hawkeye and Spider-Man.
Oh, Scarlet Witch would be so much fun.
She would be amazing.
Her power set is ridiculous, so that would be really fun to play as, yeah.
So people are saying, that was a mock-up saying, this is what people, there are rumors that this is the actual lineup that we'll see in the game, and there are some surprises, which I certainly hope there are.
Mm, yeah.
But, yeah, surely, based on what I've read of the comics, surely Captain Marvel has to exist for Kamala to be Mrs. Marvel.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I think so.
Or Miss Marvel, sorry, not Mrs.
yeah.
She became a teacher. No, never mind. Miss Marvel, for her to exist, she has to have been fangirling over all of the Avengers, especially Captain Marvel. So, yeah, I reckon that'd be exciting to see.
And I'm still very interested to see how Spider-Man plays into it, whether he's part of the story or just online, because it's Sony exclusive. I'm still very interested.
I reckon it would have to be online. You can't do that. You can't make Microsoft players or PC players miss out on chapters of the story because...
Yeah.
And that's something else I don't get. Why didn't Sony license out this interpretation of Spider-Man with the designs that they come up for the game and the performer that they hire for the game to those other platforms? Because that's other sources of money you'll get a cut of.
Yeah, apparently the next gaming generation is going to be all of this, though. It's all going to be licensing deals and it's all going to be exclusives. So I think this is the first time we're really seeing that. So however it plays out in this game might determine how video games are for the next 10 years.
Well done, Sony.
Yay, Sony.
No, look, I don't know. I can kind of see where they're coming from, but also... from a business point of view, surely it makes... I don't know how many Xbox players there are or what the market would be like for PC, but doesn't it make sense? Just don't just limit your audience to PlayStation. Get full money from your PlayStation audience, obviously, but get a cut of Xbox and PC purchases.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, agreed.
Also, tax are rich.
Yes. Agreed. Wait, no, I'm a political. Do I agree? Do I not agree? I don't know. No, tax the rich. Tax them all.
Down with Jeff Bezos.
Down with Jeff Bezos. He's the worst. He's the real supervillain.
He is.
The Avengers versus Jeff Bezos.
It's MODOK. No.
Excellent.
Good, we saved that. We made that humorous, even though I do mean everything I've said.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. What's some other stuff that you're keen to get into, though?
I'd like to watch some more of The Alienist, because I'm fascinated to see where that goes. It lavish production quality. It's okay. A period.
Is it BBC?
I don't know. It might just be a Netflix production, actually.
Oh, okay, cool.
But it's very good, and I want to see more of it. I'm not going to commit to too much. We'll see how I go. I do want to finish off Uncharted as well, so...
Yeah. You're close enough to the end that I think you will.
Nice.
That's all I'll say.
Yeah. Feels like it.
The Uncharted games tend to do that. Like, it feels like you get into the third act and then there's a slight twist and you're like, oh, wait, nope, there's still 5 hours left.
This is a 3.5. 3.5.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
What about you? Have you got anything else?
I think I'm going to read The Outsider by Stephen King. I also ordered Lovecraft Country, or Lovecraft County, the book that the upcoming TV show by J.J. Abrams and Jordan Peele is based off. So might read either of those. But I also do want to focus on Fables because I know that I can easily get distracted from comics and start reading other things and then ignore the comics for months. So I don't want to do that. In terms of new releases, though, there's this Russian sci-fi movie called Sputnik that just came out, which is getting mixed reviews, but the concept is interesting enough for me, I think, that I might check it out.
Mm.
I think it's on Amazon here? I don't know. After everything we just said about Bezos, now I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch something on Amazon.
I was going to say, I will never know because I will never pay Amazon.
Yes, I will say this. I don't pay for Amazon either.
Oh.
I'm just using someone else's account who is paying for it.
Yep. Ah, look, that's one less person paying for it. That's fine by me.
Exactly.
Come for me, Bezos.
I might watch Sputnik. I'll definitely watch Project Power. I'll definitely read something before next week. Oh, and The Ghosts of Tsushima arrived, so I might start that.
I saw that.
But we might also be doing multiple big things next week. Maybe... So, consuming that might take a bit of time. We'll see.
That's what I want to consume as well.
Yeah, those things we're doing. Should we say what it is?
Yeah, well, I think we did, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, we did.
We watched the first three Star Trek films for previous episodes of this show and for Sandro's other podcast, Oldie But A Goodie.
Yes.
And we're going to have Zach from that show appear on this show again, and we're going to talk about the following three original Star Trek films.
Undiscovered Country, Final Frontier, the sixth one. What's it called? What is that sixth one called?
The Shatner one, isn't it?
yes.
Oh, that is the Undiscovered Country.
Oh, no, number six is Undiscovered Country. Voyage, so four is The Voyage Home. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Damn me.
Yeah, the other three are clearly the more memorable ones.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll do that. But also, it might be delayed. Who knows?
We'll see.
We'll try and watch them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Is it homework, actually? We don't always set homework, but if you want to be well aware of what we're talking about, be sure to watch the final three Star Trek, original Star Trek films.
Yes. Yes. We're going to try our best to do that. And I guess that means, yeah, that's the end of the episode. A couple things to plug before we completely wrap it up this week on Oldie But A Goodie. We're talking about a Jackie Chan movie called Wheels on Meals. So you could check that out. No, I did not say that wrong. That is the actual name of the film. And also Nerd Out's back on Friday.
What?
Yeah, we're going to try and do more regular episodes with more topics. That was the thing was, yeah, we were trying to find some topics to do. And now that new releases are starting to come out, we're like, cool, let's get back into it. So some upcoming stuff. We'll definitely review the Bill and Ted 3, which I'm doing before.
Yes.
And I'm kind of thinking maybe a Christopher Nolan retrospective, look through all his films in the upcoming release of Tenet in certain states of Australia that aren't Victoria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could somebody throw it over the border, please? Just a copy of it.
Yeah, please. Or maybe I could request a screener. Probably not. I don't think they're doing screeners. I think Nolan doesn't give out screeners for his movies, which, you know, respect the craft.
He says, no screeners and no chairs.
Yes.
I like him, but what a dick.
I forgot about the chair thing. That was pretty silly.
It was.
You're not working when you're sitting down. No one sits down on my productions. Unless you're an actor in a scene where you're sitting down. And even then, you better be standing up when we're not filming.
Yeah.
Nolan. How do you put on makeup then?
Exactly.
Everyone's standing up.
I guess you don't have a director's chair then. You've got a director's walking stick, have you?
Director's walking stick, yeah.
So he can lean. Anyway. I love you, Chris. You did an amazing job with everything, really, but...
Yeah, pretty much everything.
Chill.
Yeah.
Like, I respect the no phones on set. As much as I like my phone, I'm the kind of person where they go, this is why we have that rule.
Yeah.
And, you know, Greta Gerwig does it as well, so I completely respect that idea. But no chairs? Definitely. Come on, mate. People need to rest to be able to work well.
Mm.
You sound like Amazon.
Wow. Yeah.
I've got to be a broken record about that. But anyway, let's move on.
I do want to revisit some of his films, though. I haven't seen any of, like, his stuff in a while.
Likewise.
Actually, in quite a few years.
I might join in on that.
We'll see. I haven't ever seen his debut feature as well, following the black and white one that stars no one of note. And apparently the acting's not great, but the story's really cool.
It stars no one but chairs.
Yeah. So all that coming up on Nerd Out. It's either Friday or Saturday. I'm not sure yet. Ooh. Editing two shows is annoying, so I will see, and you will see on this channel whenever it comes out as well. So yeah, it'll be fun to get back into that as well. Anything else you want to plug?
Not particularly, actually. I'm quite happy with and satisfied with just working on this show at the moment. Nice. I sometimes mention my YouTube channel, but I've been a bit quiet on there, but I'm pretty happy just putting my voice out here on this show.
Cool. All right. Oh, yes, and for those wondering, I did have someone ask, we will get our own feed at some point. At this stage, I'm working out podcast distribution stuff. I can't say why, but for Oldie But A Goodie, we've been approached by things. No, by people. And we may be changing distributors. Ooh. I can't really say too much about it. And if that changes, then the Nerd Out might change as well, but I was going to change Nerd Out anyway, so... Just, I'll let you know when it does happen. It will happen probably before the end of the year. We will get our own feed by the end of the year, but there's a lot of weird podcast stuff happening at the moment. A lot of new services kind of opening up, a lot of platforms expanding into other areas of podcasting. So I'm just waiting to see what the deal is with everything before changing anything. So that's what's happening there. To be as vague as possible.
Well, that was... more clarification than we've given previously, so I like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, basically, I don't mind staying on this network personally, like this channel, but if we need to change it for preferences reasons, as in if you're getting tired of uploading to this provider, then that's fine. But yeah.
It's not, yeah, it's more like that, as well as it is a little hard to recommend this show to some people, I feel like, because it is like, yeah, it's a show, but it's on another show's network, but they're both actually the same show in some ways.
Yeah. We're just an expanded feature from the other show.
But yeah, we will figure all of that out at some point, and let you know. So that's going to happen. That's pretty much it, I think. So I guess I'll throw it over to you to wrap us up then.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Well, in that case, see ya. No. Thank you very much for listening. If you would like to get in touch with the show, I'm going to throw it back to you for a second because I can't remember the email address for the sake of anything.
Oh.
Please send in your list of what you consumed recently to...
feedback.nerdout@gmail.com.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
You could also send it to us on our Instagram accounts because they're both public and links to them are in the show notes. You could follow us on Twitter and you could send us stuff on there, but, you know, fewer characters used on Twitter. But if you want to be concise, do it that way.
Yeah.
Give us a follow as well. Use the hashtag. I'm the only one using it at the moment, but it could be a way for you to say, I'm checking this out. If you want to mention it on the show, here's my little hashtag nerdoutconsumed sort of thing.
That's hashtag nerdoutconsumed. Yes.
Yeah.
I like that as well. It works really nice as a hashtag. Good work coming up with that.
You don't even have to, you know, send in a big review of what you're doing. It could just be, hi guys, just wanted to tell you that I've been reading this book or this comic run or watching this show. It's really good. Check it out. Hashtag nerdoutconsumed. Because you could send in a review to the email address or just do it concisely like that. That's what I'm thinking about having the hashtag going. Yeah. So do any of that as you wish or don't. It's your life. Live it how you want to. And we will speak to you next time. But until then, it's goodbye from me.
It is a farewell from me.
And what was that catchphrase again?
We didn't really have...
We didn't. Do we need one? Yeah.
How about our catchphrases? And that's the end
of the show.
And they all lived happily ever after.
As we know it.
See ya.
I like carry on consuming though, so yeah.
Cool. All right.
See you later and carry on consuming.